Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this
and
Constitution,
so, my fellow Americans,
the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do.
This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
I will be held accountable. I've got 4 years. If I don't have this done in 3 years, then there's going to be a one-term proposition.
It's the Hour of Truth. I'm Dave. Lisa's here. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm good. We always love Monday night Hour of Truth. 347-677-1835. 347-677-1835. If you want to be on, call quick, because we are going to make this a 60-minute show tonight. No, you listeners are anxious to get to the debate. And or back to the ball game, or split screen them both. You actually have three screens. You'll have a split screen of the presidents and a screen of the ball game, and you'd be in heaven, wouldn't you?
Well, maybe you would. I think it's taking multitasking a little too far.
Oh well, I am watching on my iPad. Actually, I have set up here on my desk. I've got Game Day on MLB.com, and I'll be keeping you folks posted. Thanks for coming along and listening to us in spite of the ball game. I know this is a huge one. It's Game 7. It's do or die for both of these teams. Kane versus Loesch. I like the Cardinals' chances, don't you?
Always loving the Cardinals' chances. They are a clutch team, so you know they like this kind of pressure, I hope.
The Giants, though, then, are the first game in NL National League Division Series history to come back from a 2-0 deficit to win three in a row and take it. So
I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. I want the Cardinals to win.
So, you folks, excuse me or not, I've got a little bit of a cough. I've been taking advantage of this weather and doing quite a bit of outside work, so I've got a little chest congestion going on here. I'm going to do this thing we usually don't do till the end of the first intro.
I will be held accountable.
You know, we spend an awful lot of time talking about that thing that Barack Obama said, where he said, if I don't get this done in 3 years, it's a one-term proposition. And we skip over the very first part of that statement, which was, I will be held accountable. We don't hear a lot of that. And the fact of the matter is that the new president, in an interview, said, I will be held accountable. If I don't have this done in 3 years, it's a one-term proposition. And then immediately proceeded to dodge accountability for every damn thing that went wrong.
Yes, he does. And that'll be the great thing about electing Romney. We will be finished about how everything was Bush's fault.
That's right. That's right. And we will not hear from Mitt Romney, and no matter how bad or good things get, that anything that he does is Barack Obama's fault. I will guarantee you that. This is the first president in my memory, and probably in history, who has spent an entire term blaming someone else for everything that went wrong. Everything. And not just someone else, something else. I mean, it was the tidal wave in Japan. It was the monsoon in Indonesia. It was the Arab Spring. And then, of course, throughout the whole thing, it's been George W. Bush. And we cannot ever forget that this president got through Obamacare, got through the removal of the work requirement and welfare, passed all those things with a bulletproof House and Senate. The man had 2 years to get anything he wanted, Lisa.
Yes, he did.
It's incredible how quickly we forget while we're standing up there listening to him lie about everything or anything, for that matter, being the fault of the Republicans.
Don't you think it's embarrassing, Dave? I mean, if this were happening on the Republican side, wouldn't you be embarrassed by a candidate who stood up in front of America and blamed somebody for the current state of affairs from before 4 years ago, or who had a veto-proof House and Senate and could have gone through and run his agenda through with a bulldozer and got nothing done?
Well, I mean, I would be embarrassed for America if it was either party. I wouldn't be embarrassed as a Republican because you know where I stand on that. But yeah, I would be embarrassed as an American if any of our leaders did this. American presidents are supposed to be strong. They're supposed to be the leader of the entire free world, and they just don't stand up and whine like little babies.
Yeah, leadership. Got a new definition, that's for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm going to be very glad to see the right take over the House and Senate. But I don't believe that it is ever good for the country for either side to have a bulletproof majority in the legislature. You see what we got for it. We got Obamacare. We got work for welfare rescissions.
Well, it's done absolutely nothing for us here in the state of Missouri.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, having a Republican legislature has not really helped us at all. So,
well, have we ever had a bulletproof legislature and a governor in of the same party to where, I mean, they could just ramrod things?
And when Blunt was governor, did we have a Republican-proof legislature? I don't remember.
I believe for
part of it.
Part of it, we had a majority legislature, but never a veto-proof legislature. That's pretty hard to do.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I'm not impressed.
Well, I'm not impressed with the legislature at all. Anyway, even though the Republicans are in the majority, there's not many liberty-minded people in that legislature in Jefferson City. So, okay, we're gonna talk a little bit about the debate. What do you think about tonight's debate?
Looking forward to it. Can't wait to watch it. I'm hoping that it's gonna be a real good slugfest, and I hope Romney comes out on top. I mean, I can't imagine that he wouldn't. You know, I mean, it's just. It's all laid out for you.
It can be. It can be dangerous territory, and I didn't think of this myself. I wish I had. But I was listening to Buchanan on somebody's show today. I don't even know whose. I was in the car driving the dog to the park or something, and Buchanan was on. It was like 2:30 in the afternoon, so it had to be Hannity, I guess, whatever was on. But Buchanan said the one thing that Romney has to be careful of, and I hope his people are prepping him for this, is that it will be incredibly easy for Barack Obama to manipulate him into a corner where he says something that will allow the Obama press to come out tomorrow and says, Romney says we're going to war in XYZ.
Well, you know what? That's going to happen regardless. I was watching some clips. Today, I mean, it's just amazing how the left can spin things that they want to spin and pick on just the most incredible stuff that has little or no truth to it and just throw it right out there. And people suck it up with a straw. So I would expect to see that regardless of what he says. I mean, he could stand in the middle of the stage and spit nickels at people and they would find fault with it.
One of my friends, I'm going to find this while we talk, but one of my friends posted something today that I thought was absolutely hilarious on one of the social networks. Here's what he wrote. I'd like to say a few words. Oh, I'd like to say a few words. No, that's not what I wanted, although that was good too. So you think Obama comes out looking bad tonight, or just not? You think it's more like last one where he just doesn't look best?
You know, common sense would tell me that he's got to look pretty bad. I mean, there's just no, well, I mean, of course you can spin it any way you want, but there's just no denying. I mean, he's just thrown the country under the bus with foreign policy, you know, and the things that he's done in the last couple of months with Libya and losing, you know, we've lost ambassadors and Marines and, you know, I mean, if you go back to the bowing to the Saudi prince, I mean, you can do all kinds of stuff. We've been funding Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood and, oh, my gosh, and the slips that he had with the Russian prime minister and, you know, with the hot mic and say, you know, wait till my next term and, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. No, I really hope Romney finds a way to get that in there. I mean, that absolutely has to get in there tonight, that thing with ask Putin just to hold off until I, you know, after the election, and then I'll have more flexibility. I mean, that has got to get in there.
We'll give you anything you want. We'll sell you the farm.
Absolutely, and the fact that I don't know if it's a fact yet. There is rumor out there anyway that Iran is saying they will negotiate with us after the election.
Sure, they will.
Yeah. Here's what my friend John writes. How tonight's debate will likely go. Moderator, welcome to the Moderator Hour, the show where I present to the American people the real truth. Joining me tonight is a liar and the President of the United States. The rules are simple. After I set the record straight, the President will speak without interruption. Afterward, the other guy will speak while the President and I fact-check in the middle of his sentences. I reserve the right to unilaterally declare a topic concluded at any time. The first question, Mr. President, how awesome was it to bring to justice the world's most hated man to live since Adolf Hitler? Was it really awesome or strap a firecracker on a G.I. Joe awesome?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So he didn't think much of the way it was going to be moderated tonight. And, you know, that is true. I mean, we already know with Schieffer how the moderation is going to go. That's already a given.
Well, I mean, it's been a pretty sad state of affairs the last couple of chances too. So that's kind of appalling to watch, actually, when you see that go on.
Actually, I thought Lear did a pretty good job. I know you didn't, but yeah, I thought he did a fairly good job. Candy Crowley did a horrible job, and you know, she's getting so much credit from the press for correcting her gaffe on the read the transcript thing, where she came back and interrupted Mitt Romney to say that, in fact, the president had said that it was a terrorist attack on the day of the attack, and then she has a small little blurb on CNN the next day where she says, oh, well, I made a mistake. He didn't really say that. That kind of stuff is just pretty handy and pretty much the way the game is played. You know, you've got the 60 million people, so you do something stupid or purposely misleading, and then you can always come back. Newspapers do that. You know, They'll say something intentionally or unintentionally wrong in a headline on the front page, and then they'll print a retraction 2 days later in small print on page 19.
Bury it, yes.
Yeah. So that's exactly what happened there, and there was nothing unintentional about it. I mean, the question has to come to your mind, okay? Oh, President Barack Obama said, read the transcript. What? Cindy Crowley's got the transcript laying on her desk in front of her from a speech Barack Obama made on September 11th? I mean, of all the things Barack Obama said, she has that transcript laying in front of her on the desk? Yeah. So, I mean, these things are cooked for moderation. So I expect a Romney win. There isn't much that that Obama can do. And to cover up the dismal foreign, I mean, I expect to hear at least six times that he killed Osama bin Laden. And what else? That he ended the war in Iraq.
Okay. Is the war in Iraq really over?
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
The whole Middle East is burning, so.
Well, yeah, and Iraq's going to fall. I mean, but that was a given in my mind the day we went in there. We weren't going to save that mess. I always thought it was something we shouldn't get involved in to start with. Okay, Lisa and I are going to take a break. We have four things coming up on the ballot besides people to vote for. We've been spending some time on them in the last couple of weeks. We're going to come back and do some more of that. We're going to talk a little baseball off and on as the night goes by. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some things going on in St. Charles County.
This is the Grassroots Minute. We hear all the horror stories from the environmentalists that put forth the idea that oil fracking is destroying the earth. Of course, until they test the water before any fracking is performed, they are mostly political in nature to fit their agenda. For instance, the movie Grassland sounded terrible until it was discovered that the water there had been ignitable for decades in a well-known natural occurrence. Did anyone notice the fact was left out of the movie? If there are dangers or downsides, we need that confirmed and remedied, but must not let this government limit our ability to produce our own energy. We could become a third world country overnight if the Saudis decide to cut off our oil. Do we want to chance that? Fracking has been going on for decades. It was only when it appeared that natural gas was going to be the energy of the future instead of solar and wind the big stink came about. I believe the extreme environmentalists and the folks who want to implement Agenda 21 are behind this scare. Another little-known fact is that the poster child of green energy, Germany, has given up on solar and wind after spending millions and millions on subsidies. German President Merkel is a realist and wants to save the economy of her country. Therefore, Germany is in the process of building over 30 coal-fired plants in her country, and we are shutting down our coal plants. What does that say to you? We need the energy that it produces to stay energy independent. The environmental nightmares of the green energies are never discussed. Have you ever asked yourself why? I'm Terry Varner for the Grassroots Minute.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
We're back. The Cardinals go down in their half of the first. Second half of the first coming up. They stranded Beltran on second base as Craig pops out to the third baseman. Giants coming up for the first time tonight. Secret Santa is going pretty well, isn't it, Lisa?
From what I understand, we are almost at our goal, Dave. It's a good thing, too, because we're almost at Christmas.
We're almost at Christmas, and we need that little extra push, folks, to get us to our goal. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Find the Secret Santa button. It's in the top menu, the tabs across the top, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Click on the Secret Santa button and use PayPal to give us a couple of $3, will you? On Christmas Eve, we will take all the money we've collected, and we will go to three or four. Our goal is $500. Box stores where people have items on layaway for their children on Christmas morning and by Christmas Eve apparently are not going to be able to have the money to bail those items out of layaway. So those children would be without those toys on Christmas morning because something had come up and their parents were unable to get the toys in time for Christmas. We'll pay off those layaways, leaving $5 or $10 on the bill to make sure the parents have to come in and pick them up, and then we'll just disappear into the night. And that is the Secret Santa, Missouri Grassroots Coalition, conservative people doing conservative things for people. We don't ask their politics, we don't ask their religion, We don't ask why they haven't been able to get these toys out. It's not about them. It's about those kids. And we love people. And as conservatives, we are quick to say that it is not the government's place to provide charity for people. It is our place. It is Americans' place to look after other Americans. And, you know, if we're going to say that, we damn well better do it. Don't you think, Lisa?
Oh, I would agree. And, you know, with all of this, all of the charitable giving that you can do this Christmas, there are a lot of very worthy charities out there, but this is truly a grassroots-driven charity. And, you know, there's no overhead. You're not paying an administrative fee, or you're not paying any other types of overhead. This is all of the money that's collected is going straight to the charity, the kids.
Absolutely. So do it. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. If you're not sure how to spell that, then just look up at the header. You're on the Missouri Grassroots Blog Talk Radio page right now, so you'll see Missouri Grassroots Coalition spelled out for you up there, and it's all one word, Missouri Grassroots Coalition, all run together, .org. You'll see some tabs across the top there if you've never been there before. If you've never been there before, join the organization while you're there and check out the rest of the site. But by all means, click on that Secret Santa button. Go to PayPal. Give us a buck or two. There's an address there if you don't like PayPal, don't want to use PayPal, don't want to open a PayPal account, don't have one. You can send us a check or money order. Okay, what about these Cardinals, Lisa? I'm a little concerned. They've dropped these two games and ended up back in San Francisco.
To be. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's although you know, I don't know if you remember the four game sweep in Boston, but that was a time when St. Louis had a very quick ending of the National League Championship Series. And ended up sitting around on their duffs for 4 or 5 days waiting for the series to come. And the series wasn't going to come Wednesday, whether the Cardinals had won last Friday or not. So it may well be, if they can pull this off tonight, that it turns out in their best interest to have drug it out a little bit. But I don't like these nail biters.
Ooh. Well, they got a man first. They just got a base hit. He's rounding second and going to third. They got a man on first and third. In the bottom of the first, no outs.
Yeah, not good. You better believe Wainwright is in the bullpen. I'm not seeing what's going on the field. I've just got game day open, and in fact, game day is quite a bit behind you. I just saw the hit, the single that drove Pagan to third, just this instant. So, I don't have a TV on here. You can bet Wainwright is probably in the bullpen that I would guess Loesch isn't going to be allowed to let them string any more than 3 or 4 hits together, and that'll be the end for him.
Oh, Sandoval is up to bat.
Oh, man, yeah. Okay, so we've talked a lot about this tobacco tax. That's a big no, isn't it, Lisa?
Huge no.
Huge no.
Yeah, you know.
But the money's for the kids, Lisa.
No, it's not for the kids. And you know what? It is time for patriots to wake up and smell the coffee. Those that have learned to co-opt the patriot movement have learned patriot speak. And you know, when they come across and start speaking your language, a lot of people in the patriot movement are following like the Pied Piper, just because they're speaking the right speak. It is time for people to begin to think critically and look beyond the surface of these issues and really investigate these issues, because we know from initiatives in the past that when they tell you that it's for the kids, you know, it's all for the kids, it's usually not for the kids. So, you know, and there's no reason, again, also, if you want to speak patriot speak, we don't tax certain quadrants of individuals in this country, you know, certain focus groups or certain groups of people. We tax everybody equally. And, you know, while I am against smoking and think it's disgusting and everyone out there who smokes should stop, you know, there's no reason to tax these people just because they're smokers.
Yeah, I agree. But then, you know, we tax, we put an excise tax on tires. We already have a tax on cigarettes. We put a tax on, we do tax selective sectors of the population for doing selective things, for behaving in selective ways. You're right. It's not right. Patriots had ought to be fighting against that in every quadrant, not just in this tax.
Yeah. You know, and there are other issues as well. You know, people need to look beyond the surface and really investigate these things. Don't expect to be able to go into the ballot box on November 6th and read the ballot language and have a full understanding of what's going on, because none of the issues on the ballot are written clearly enough for you to be able to vote without having done a little research.
Yeah, that's right. Sandoval grounds out one run in. Runner on second, Giants ahead 1-0. Yeah, that's absolutely right. It is something that the voter needs to keep up with, and most voters don't, do they, Lisa?
It's sadly no.
Yeah.
You know, well, people are busy living their lives, trying to make a living and raise their kids, and, you know, most of the people are not the political wonks that we are, and, you know, they're not paying attention.
And even today, the ballot initiatives are hard to find. If you go to the Secretary of State site, if you go to Vote Missouri, a collateral site to the Secretary of State site, they're there, but you have really got to look for them.
Right, and unless you go and you do the research by actually reading through the legislation that put the initiative on the ballot, you don't have a full understanding of what the issue is and what the consequences could be of your vote.
That's absolutely right, but. But back to what we were talking about, I mean, Lisa, isn't the lottery money for the kids? I mean, why wouldn't this money be for the kids if the kids are getting so much money from the lottery?
Because it's a shell game. You know, they tell you that they're going to put this money into the education fund, which, by the way, is the largest item in the budget of Missouri's budget. More than 52% of the budget goes to education, K through 20. And, you know, once that money goes into the general fund, it goes to different places. What they're trying to do is grow the general fund. And in their idea, if they grow the general fund, well, then more money can go to education. Well, technically, maybe that's true, but that's not necessarily where the money is going.
Well, yeah, I see what you mean about the shell game there. So what you're saying is that they would designate that money for schools, but then they would just turn around and take that much money away from schools so that schools end up with the same amount of money and they freed up this other school money to use for something else.
Well, they may put a little bit more money into education, but they're not putting all of the money that they're gaining from the tax into education.
So in other words, if they gain X dollars from the tax, education doesn't go up X dollars.
Right.
Right. Okay, I see what you mean. Okay, how about this insurance exchanges thing? What do you know about that?
Okay, that was legislation that went through the House and the Senate, I think, if I remember correctly. Anyway, basically what that does is that sets up a situation where voters can choose whether or not they want the governor to have control over setting up insurance exchanges, or do they want the legislature and a vote of the people to be able to have control over setting up insurance exchanges? And if Obamacare is not repealed, we will have insurance exchanges in Missouri. So it's not whether or not will we have insurance exchanges, because we will have them. It's who is going to oversee them.
I see.
Do we want the governor in that much unlimited control?
So that's a yes for us. Is that right?
That is a yes.
Yes.
Because we do not want the governor to have unlimited control over unilaterally setting up insurance exchanges in Missouri. We want to. We want the people to have control.
Okay, I get it. So the governor has he? I guess he's attempted to set up these exchanges in the past, then, and that's why everybody's so worried about it.
Yes.
Okay. Well, all right, and an insurance exchange, for those of you who don't know, is a marketplace, a government monitored and managed marketplace where different insurance companies come. They all sell a policy with exactly the same coverages in it, and you can compare the prices. But the coverages that are required are dictated by the government, and so it is I was looking up some fact check on something that Romney has said now in both debates, and it turns out that he is correct. It is a fact that while Barack Obama promised a $2,500 decrease in insurance premiums during his first 4 years, that the average insurance premium for American families has gone up $2,500, Lisa.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that's just more of that squeeze of the middle class that we keep hearing about and everybody is currently feeling. So there's a strikeout. The Giants are finally done in the first, folks. Stranded a runner on second and lead 1-0 with the Cardinals coming up in their second. Okay, now, then there's this thing about okay, what is the other thing? Tobacco taxes. We're going to save local control. You and I will spend almost the whole time talking about that in our next show, our next to the last show before the election. So what is the fourth thing, Lisa?
I don't have the ballot.
It's the exchange. It's the tobacco tax. It's the the judges, Amendment 3 to the Constitution, and this is actually a constitutional amendment that changes the judges. And we spent last week's show on that, so we're not going to belabor this point. But the fact of the matter is that I started out on this thing as either way, flip a coin and take your pick. But this is an absolute no, I think.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. You know, what really bothers me about this, it has really absolutely nothing to do with whether or not this is a good amendment or a bad amendment, is that that they couldn't come up with anything better and a little bit more impressive to actually get the job done, to bring more transparency to this situation. This is kind of a piddly, poor ballot initiative. It's not really doing much. Maybe it'll advance the ball down the road a little bit. Maybe it will. I kind of really don't think that it will. I think that it'll have some consequences, kind of like amendment, what was the religious
two.
Freedom
two, yeah.
That we had last summer, amendment two.
Right.
That I think it's going to have some consequences that are not going to be pleasant after it's been put through.
I always wondered how they number these amendments. I mean, it's not the Third Amendment to the Constitution like the First Amendment, Second Amendment, Third Amendment to the Federal Constitution. You know, and the last time you had Amendment 2 and then you had Amendment 3. Maybe that's how it is. I don't know. I'll have to find out someday from somebody, somewhere, somehow, how they decide to just throw a number on the back of an amendment there. So that's a no, and I agree with you. We talked about this at length, and so if you folks want to hear that discussion, go back and listen to the podcast of the last show. We're not going to reiterate all that, but yeah, this is actually bad. It's not only not good, it's actually bad in my mind. It opens up the entire panel to the bar. It makes the thing totally partisan, I think the whole Missouri plan needs to be scrapped myself, but failing that, we might as well just leave it alone because this is not only not good, it's really bad. Okay, when we come back, Lisa and I are not going to talk about the local control issue. We're going to talk about that in a while, and we're going to leave that alone tonight since her and I are going to depart agreeing on at least three of these four initiatives, and we'll leave the debate for next Monday night. But when we come back, we are going to talk, Lisa, about some strange goings-on in St. Charles County. There's some really odd stuff going on there, isn't there?
Well, you know, this kind of thing seems to be happening in St. Charles County more and more all the time. So whether or not we can label it strange, I just don't know, but it's not good. We can label it that.
The St. Charles County Commission totally take over the government in St. Charles County and make themselves kings. We'll find out when we come back.
not pout. I'm telling you why.
Here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, it's Christmas in July and August and September. Last year on Christmas Eve, MGC paid off the department store layaway accounts of two Missouri families who were not able to provide Christmas for their children. This year, we would like to at least double that number, and in an attempt to do that by the holiday season, we're asking you to consider donating a few dollars toward that effort. We know the holiday season is the most difficult time of year to ask for donations, so we're planning ahead and asking you to give whatever you can so that a few Missouri families will be able to celebrate at Christmas. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa page. All the details are there for you to donate by PayPal, check, or money order. Conservatives have proven to be the most generous and most benevolent people in the United States. Please help us with this very small charitable project.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
You got an opinion on it? Oh well, 347-677-1835, and we'll hear what you have to say. Lisa's here with me. This is the Hour of Truth, and you know, something that sultry-voiced lady that does our commercials said is so true, and it is a proven fact. And when I say proven fact, I mean hardcore studies, time after time after time, show that conservatives are the most generous and benevolent people. And she said that, and it's a fact. So do it. Do it tonight. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Click on the Secret Santa button at the top. Go to PayPal and give us $2. Give us $2. Everybody listening tonight, give us $2, and we'll make our goal. Not tonight, but if we do this every night, to where everybody listening that night gives us $2, we'll make our goal in good fashion. One on, nobody out in the Cardinals. Yachty gets a single to lead off the inning, and so the Cardinals are on the roll now. Come on, you Redbirds, as Mike Shannon would say. Okay, Lisa, this sheriff thing, I guess what the county commission wants to do is they want to pretty much be in charge of who's policing the place, right?
Yeah, interestingly enough, yes, and we're getting kind of a taste of what that might be like, because we're trying to campaign against this issue, and we're having a little problem with some of the local municipalities and being allowed to campaign in certain areas. So, it just kind of sets the stage for what life would be like without a sheriff's department and when we're under the control of an appointed police chief.
Yeah, so basically, you would still elect a sheriff, but all he would do then is run and fetch coffee for the county commission.
That's pretty much it. I mean, their duties would be very, very drastically reduced to serving summons and, you know, bailiff duties at the courthouse, things like that. There's, you know, maybe transporting prisoners would be about as exciting as it would get, I think, for the sheriff's department.
So there's got to be an upside. I mean, is there a cost savings? Is there a...
They rushed this initiative through so quickly, they didn't bother to do a cost analysis on it. But the reality is you're doubling your bureaucracy and your staff, so you'll have to have staff for the sheriff's department and the police department. There may be a need for another building, you know, over and above restriping the cars and administrative costs. For, you know, just doubling your departments, and it's just growing the size of your government here in St. Charles County. So that there will be no cost savings to that, we're pretty sure.
Okay, so aside from the fact that you have to have a sheriff, I think that's, I believe, and I was going to check on that. You and I talked about this last Wednesday, and I was going to check on that, and I neglected to, but I believe that the state requires each county to have an elected sheriff. So aside from the fact that you'll have an elected sheriff, you would then have, actually, this isn't a replacement police department. This is a whole separate and new police department. Am I correct?
That's right. It's just a whole other bureaucratic department that they're adding to the tax rolls, I guess, you know, expecting the people to support.
Man.
We'd be paying a sheriff and a police chief, so there'd be additional salaries, and, you know, the cost of that would be, you know, who knows.
Yeah.
An administrative staff for each.
What else you got going on there in St. Charles County? Some really odd stuff.
Well, we've got a loaded ballot. There are six initiatives on the ballot in St. Charles County, and each one of these initiatives hands over power to the county executive. And we're urging people to vote no on all of them. There's this sheriff's department issue, and then there are several charter amendments changing the charter in St. Charles County.
So basically, though, it's a no vote on all of these. Am I right? And not necessarily because some of them in any better situation wouldn't be good things.
Well, actually, they're all already either presently covered under the charter, or they hand additional power over to the county executive, which is something that you don't necessarily want to do, centralize all your power with one elected representative. It's just a power grab. It's a power grab of a major proportions in St. Charles County. And again, it's another situation where if you don't bother to do the research and understand what's behind the ballot initiative, you're not going to be able to understand it by reading the ballot language. So people should we encourage you to do your research, call your county council member, talk to them, get the ballot initiative and the ballot languages from the county council's office and read up on it, because you will see in those bills that a great deal, there's a power shift. There's just a power shift that goes from the elected officials who are already holding those elected offices to the county executive to run everything.
I get it. Where are you working this issue some more this week out there in St. Charles County? I know you've been very, very active in that.
Yeah, we actually have a number of events planned. Let me see if I can pull these things up for you. We are going to be having a sine wave at Highway 70 in Cave Springs in St. Peter's to raise awareness for the sheriff's issue Friday evening at 5:30, and we hope that you will join us there. We're doing our very best to educate the folks about what's going on here in St. Charles County. And we're trying to plan another sine wave for November 3rd, and we'll bring you up to speed on the details of that as they develop. And let me see if I can get some other action items for you. We've initiated a letter-writing campaign as well. If you can go to SaveOurSheriffDepartment.com, that's DEPT.com, there's a Take Action tab, and you will find on that Take Action tab the letter-writing campaign, and we've provided you all of the information there for you to write every member of your county council, the county executive, the sheriff, the patch newspapers that operate here in St. Charles County, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and the St. Charles Suburban Journals, because the deputies have initiated this campaign themselves. They are against this initiative. We don't have a lot of money to spend on advertising, so the best way that you can help us is to advertise by writing letters to these media outlets and informing the citizens before election time, so that we can get this information out.
Okay, that's St. Pete on Friday, right?
St. Peter's. We will be at Cave Springs, and actually Cave Springs and Mexico Road, from 5:30 to 7 o'clock p.m. We'll have signs for you there and literature for you to learn about what this initiative is all about. If you're undecided or you want to know more, we'll be out there from 5:30 to 7.
Wear a jacket, folks, and listen. If you haven't done anything, if you just listen once in a while or read once in a while about these tea parties and all of these activist things that go on, come on out to St. Pete and meet Lisa and some of the people. If for no other reason, it's a good fellowship. It's a good way to meet people who feel like you do, to learn about things, and then you just might have some fun.
Yeah, and actually, we are also, if you're interested in getting involved, we are looking for volunteers to go door to door to help hang door hangers on the doors, to help. You know, you can do this on your own and put these on in your own neighborhood to help educate your neighbors about what's going on around them. And we need poll workers. So all of that information is up at the SaveOurSheriffDepartment.com website, and you can sign up there to get emails and to volunteer.
Now, is the Cardinals stranded two more? Runners on second and third. Kyle Loesch makes the third out, and the Cardinals have stranded three now in this game and are behind 1-0 with the Giants coming to bat in the second. So now, is all this work that you're doing, Lisa, is it all about Save Our Sheriff, or as you go out and do these things, are you also talking about the other five things?
Whenever I get a chance, we try to educate the folks on the rest of it, but most of the organized campaign is for the SaveOurSheriff.com.
Okay. All right. So that's what's coming down in St. Charles County. Now, I read an interesting blog again this week about something that's going on down near Branson in Hollister. What do you know about that, Lisa?
Yes. Tyranny, Hollister, Missouri. You know, it's become kind of trendy for some of these local municipalities to want to set daytime curfews for young people in their communities. And the reason that I know about this is because I'm a homeschool mom, and we don't live the traditional big box school lifestyle that a lot of people live in this country. You know, I don't send my kids to public schools or private schools. And when you don't live that lifestyle, your kids have a flexible schedule. And sometimes they're out in the community when other kids are sitting in schools. Maybe they're going to a class outside the home or participating in, you know, an outside learning event or, you know, taking a sport or studying taking gymnastics or whatever. And sometimes, you know, you can be flagged as maybe being truant or, you know, maybe just raise suspicion in the eyes of some people who are just used to having, living the traditional big box school lifestyle. And in Hollister, Missouri, the municipal leaders there decided to try to set a curfew, a daytime curfew there, and they were harassing homeschool students who were legitimately homeschooling their kids under the law. But they were not. They were out and about during the middle of the day. So Homeschool Legal Defense had been monitoring this situation. So, and I reposted it on my blog, Homeschooling United. And there were action items there and action information there for the people of Missouri to contact the Hollister, the municipal fathers in Hollister, to let them know exactly how they felt about this issue.
Okay, so the question then becomes, folks, what is the big deal? I mean, all you've got to do is prove you're a homeschool kid, and the policeman just asks you the question, and then he turns around and walks away and leaves you alone. Well, that's not the point. The point is that we don't live in that kind of society. We don't live in a show-me-your-papers. We don't live in a guilty-until-proven-innocent. We don't live in a prove-to-me-you're-not-breaking-the-law world, or we should we?
Well, you know, In all honesty, I mean, I don't have a problem with a police officer investigating suspicious activity, you know, and if a police officer came up to one of my kids and asked them why they were out of school and, you know, they said they were homeschooled and that was the end of it, as long as they weren't breaking the law or doing something they were not supposed to be doing, you know, I don't have a problem with officers investigating a situation. But I think the problem comes when it's carried a little bit further, you know, and I know that it happens a lot in the homeschooling community because homeschoolers kind of go against the grain on what is considered to be normal. Sometimes they are subjected to a little bit extra harassment by government authorities because it's just, it's just something that's against the norm.
And after the election, after things have settled down a bit, we'll probably do a show or two after the election, a couple of weeks. We'll spend some time actually analyzing the election and looking forward to the next 4 years, both in Missouri and nationally. And then after that, after everything's quieted down, I'm going to have Lisa, who's almost always here with me on Monday for the entire hour as my producer and call screener and co-host. But we're going to have her on more as a guest, and she's going to talk to us for the full hour about homeschooling, about what's involved, about what's different about it, about the requirements. I mean, this isn't just a thing, you know, that some people think this is just a thing where you say, okay, I don't want my kid to go to school anymore, and the kid sits home and watches Oprah Winfrey all day. And there are requirements. There are specific things that have to be done, and it's a very rigorous educational environment, no different most would even say better than the public school environment. So we're going to do that. And speaking of things coming up, Lisa, I think night after tomorrow, probably on Wednesday, you're going to have something for us.
Yeah, I've actually got my show planned out again a whole couple of days in advance, which, you know, I'm on a roll these last couple of weeks. we're going to have Ray Cuneo on again with us to talk some more about Agenda 21. And if you haven't had an opportunity to listen to any of the past podcasts, go back and go back to the website and click on some of those. Ray has got just invaluable information about Agenda 21, and it is absolutely something that most people don't know enough about. And I've been following it for a while, and there's so much that I don't know about. And it affects you on a very local level. It's a national issue that affects people on a very local level, and Ray just has great information on that. And we'll have Terry Herring on with us to talk a little bit more in depth about the issues relating to the St. Charles County ballots. And something I want to also stress for folks, we are here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition to help communities like St. Charles County and Arnold and Springfield and Hollister and all of the counties across Missouri when they have an issue to be an alert for the rest of the state, so that we can unite behind these troubled counties and provide some support and a large active voice to let the elected people know that you're on the radar and we're watching what you do. So while we've been very heavily going into detail about the encroachments in St. Charles County, we're happy to do that for you anywhere in the state of Missouri. So if you have an issue like issues that have been coming up in St. Charles County or in Hollister or in Springfield, give us a call. Send us a notice, you know, info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and we'll get behind you and help to publicize your issue and maybe help to be a stronger voice for you to fight the problem.
Absolutely. It's not just fighting. It is actually education, too. My good friend Harold Thompson came over yesterday. He and I had a glass of tea together and chit-chatted, and he brought me my Cynthia Davis sign for the front yard. It's now proudly out there, the only sign in my front yard. He was telling me that, you know, after your blog about the tyranny in Hollister, he had contacted some of his friends who were in Hollister, and they didn't even know this was coming down.
Well, you know, and so often a lot of this stuff flies under the radar and it goes without notice.
Right.
Because we're all very busy with our daily lives. We're not as actively engaged as we should be, and that's really why we're here. We're trying to help get people engaged and informed and to be a more active voice in your local community.
And so now, because of Missouri Grassroots Coalition and Lisa's blog, there are some people on fire in Hollister, Missouri. So that's you know, that's what we're here for. That's what we're all about. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, www.MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Join the group and be part of the solution. While you're there, click on the Secret Santa button. Use PayPal to send us a couple of bucks. Then on Thursday, Kevin Harned, the hillbilly, comes along with Hillbilly Logic. I'm sure there will be some debate wrap-up on that, and then big-time debate wrap-up with Lisa and I, at least, maybe Mike, maybe Kevin, maybe Terry, who knows who, on Friday night at the Missouri Grassroots Roundtable. Next Monday night, Lisa and I will take on the biggie. We'll take on local control. That is a very divisive issue, and Lisa and I can almost certainly talk about that without yelling at each other and calling each other names. But it is an issue that has some salient points on both sides of the coin. And you'll want to hear that. You'll want to go back and review what that's all about, review all the discussions, all the blogs you can get your hands on, and make up your mind about what you want to do on that. It is probably the most dramatic issue on the ballot, because wherever you are in Missouri, you're going to be voting on a proposition that is going to have more effect on someone else's life. It's going to be almost transparent to you. I mean, whatever the outcome of this, unless you live in St. Louis City, is going to be almost transparent to you, but is going to be anything but transparent to the people who live in the city of St. Louis. So pay attention to that one. Be responsible when you cast a vote on that one. And whether you vote yes or whether you vote no, know what you're voting. I mean, don't let this be one of those ones where you walk into the voting booth and just flip a coin because you didn't have a clue it was coming or what it was all about. A week from Monday, on election eve, Cynthia Davis will be along with us for the entire period. That'll be a hoot. It's going to be more of a party than anything else because it's kind of a wind down time. Tuesday night, the 6th, Lisa, I, probably Mike, maybe Kevin. Kevin has already indicated he will be along. Terry will try to be here. We're going to do one of our favorite things. We did it on primary night. We're going to do an election night return special. We don't usually have a show at all on Tuesday, so this is a special edition. It's 2 hours. We're going to start at 7:30 instead of 7 because we can only have 2 hours, and we want to be sure and go till 9:30 so that we have the best chance of calling as many things as possible by 9:30. We'll be watching the Missouri races of interest. We'll be watching the national races of interest, and we'll be watching the overall makeup of the House, the Senate, and the governorships. So that'll be fun, and that'll be something to look forward to. And then, Lisa, it's over.
Yeah. That's a good thing.
That's it. Two
or,
weeks.
Or it may not be over. Again, on Wednesday, tune in on Wednesday night with us, too. We've got some breaking information, where we will have some breaking information from Reboot Congress on whatever the latest Claire scandal is. So whether or not she's elected, will determine whether or not it's over.
I don't. Oh, yeah. I see what you mean. Sure. No. I mean the election is over, folks. I don't mean it's over, because Missouri Grassroots Coalition is going to be here, and I'm going to tell you, if what we want comes about, and I think it will, and Romney becomes the president, and Aiken becomes a senator, and Spence becomes the governor, ain't going to happen. But we hold the House and Senate in the state of Missouri, and we win the House and Senate in Washington, D.C. Our job's just begun, Lisa.
Well, that's right. Because we don't want to get complacent. We don't want to think that we can rest on our laurels, because then it'll be time to hold people's feet to the fire. There's a lot of damage done over the last 4 years.
That's absolutely correct.
A lot to undo.
And there will be a tendency. I mean, there will be a tendency, because these are all big party Republicans. I mean, everybody we've named is really just a big party Republican, a status quo elitist. They happen to theoretically agree with us more often than the people on the other side, but there will be a tendency in both the state house and the Capitol to just drift back to business as usual unless we stay alive, stay active, and do our job. So really, I mean, once we send Romney to the White House, once we send Aiken to the Senate, once we maintain the House and Senate in Jefferson City, our job has just begun. If you don't believe that, brothers and sisters, review the last legislative session where Republicans had the majority. I mean, we got to get busy. We've got to get active. We've got to start making these people remember that we own the government, as Clint says in Lisa's intro so nicely. They work for us. They're our employees. We're going to wrap tonight so that you folks can get to the debate. Lisa on Wednesday, Kevin on Thursday, Roundtable on Friday. We'll be back with you next Monday. Good night, Lisa.
Good night, Dave.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter.
You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.